Welcome on in. It's Trailblazers Courtside. It is our TV and internet-only segment. Brian Wheeler, joined by, yes, Antonio Harvey. Has he ever looked as good as he does right now? You know, he hasn't said a lot since he came in, and maybe he's been saving his thoughts for the show. We should find out. Tone the game last night. Much-needed victory for the Blazers, coming off the disappointing first game of the homestand after the long road trip. What did you feel was the key for a Blazers win last night? I hadn't looked at it from that perspective. Did you say that on Talking Ball? I think I heard you say that on Talking Ball last night. Yeah, okay. How about with the injuries to Nick and Wesley? I thought Terry did a very good job of using some bench guys that hadn't seen a lot of playing time and effectively got them into the game early, and I think that paid dividends as the game went on. What do you think? Yeah. Oh, you're funny. Gosh, you're funny. In fact, I'm not even sure I've heard you as funny as you are right now. Ah, and as Natalie dressed as usual, too. More of the wonderful statements and thoughts of Antonio Harvey as the show progresses. We should take a look at our Trailblazers courtside tip-off, because we have a couple of guests that I think will be able to hear their thoughts and see them as well, if not better, as you just heard and saw Antonio. Terry Stotts, Trailblazers head coach, will be with us in the early part of the program, and then we'll be joined in studio by our good friend Chris Haynes from CSNNW.com. Trailblazers insider, he's there for every Blazers game, home and road, just as we are. So those two gentlemen will be on the program as well, and we are thankful that you are here as too. Again, it is part of a Trailblazers homestand that has just gotten started. Four more games to come. Next up, San Antonio on Thursday night, national television. Later start, 7:30 for coming out to the Rose Garden. We'll preview that matchup as well. But 1-1 on the homestand, back in the win column with the victory last night over Toronto, and we'll find out from Terry about the health of his two key starters, Wesley and Nick. Brian Wheeler, you're taking a look also at Estacada and Banks. They've taken over the Rose Garden for 4A girls basketball. All right, we'll come back and get this show rolling. Tone will be with us soon, we hope.
Down the middle with the right hand in trap. Babbitt goes on him. Babbitt baseline with two hands. Dunks it. Smith lob. Hickson at the rim. Jams it. Nice find again.
It's Trailblazers courtside. Moments ago, we were joined in studio. For those who are just joining us on Trailblazers Radio, and we had a switch there as well due to crazy afternoon news-wise. We switched over from 1190 AM to our sister station 620 AM. But for those who are rejoining us on Comcast Sportsnet and Trailblazers.com, that was Tone. Now, I don't know. It said moments ago.
Yeah.
But you said you've been here for 10 minutes.
At least 10, 15 minutes. That was a great segment, by the way. I don't think in all the years I've been doing courtside we've ever had a more vibrant and active segment. You know, it's good to get back on the air after that long road trip. And,
yeah.
You know. Yeah.
You had some very pointed remarks, yeah. It was insightful.
I try to be insightful as best I can, and I like to point. You know, it's my favorite.
Yes,
it's my favorite
make
thing
points
to do.
And you point.
Point.
No with a
point. I'm pointing at you people and all of you people out there.
It was fun. Yes, it was fun. And last night was fun.
Blazers
needed that one, that's for sure. And, you know, it's not often you can go over 20 from three-point range and win a game by 18 points, but such was the case.
You know, it begs the question, how bad is Toronto, really?
They looked pretty bad. I know they had some injuries during the game, and they were struggling coming in, but I can see why they're struggling, because I didn't ever have a feeling that there was a chance the Blazers were going to lose that game last night, even though they depend, and we're going to have Terry Stotts on in our next segment. You know, they depend on that three-point shot quite a bit, and yet, you know, it wasn't there to be had last night, and they had some pretty good looks from three-point range, including our guy Damian Lillard, and gosh,
for the record,
I was trying to will him for that record. And you know, you unfortunately got somebody really riled up on Twitter.
What?
Against me.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yes, he did. I need to find the exact Twitter remark, because for those who don't know, and we're not listening on Trailblazers radio last night, every time Damian took a 3-point attempt, because remember, he'd come into the game tied with Rudy Fernandez for the most number of games to start an NBA career hitting at least 1 3-point field goal. So he needed only one to have the record all by himself last night. So 20 straight games with at least one. And he took at least 4, maybe 5.
He took five.
Now the last one, that one, I think was the one that looked like it was in and wouldn't stay there. But every time he took a shot, I said, for the record, and it didn't go in. So Tone, once the game was over, he said, hey, you know, I blame Wheels. You know, he jinxed him every time. He brought it up. And, of course, everybody got a good laugh about it, except for, I won't say his full name, but Richard.
Gotta love Twitter.
Sent a note and said, it is 100% at Blazer Wheels' fault for at Dame_Lillard not getting the 3-point record. Sure would be nice if he'd shut up once in a while.
That is,
and so I couldn't help it. And Richard, I hope you took it good naturedly. If you're watching or listening, I sent him back a note and I said 100% ? I said, let's make it 110. I mean, why stop there? Let's be sure about this, that I was responsible for him not getting the record.
I have to think, I will guarantee you that Richard never crossed paths with a black cat. Won't walk underneath a ladder.
He's not taking a tag off a mattress.
Nah, always throws spilled salt over his left shoulder.
Not jumping in the pool after he eats. He's not doing any of that stuff because he's not taking any chance.
Oh, my gosh. That is great. I mean, it was your fault, but still.
Yeah, right. But it just goes to show how powerful you are. Yes. By just saying something that you have everybody convinced. And I'm sure that Richard was thinking, why the heck didn't this happen tonight? I mean, Damian, he did at least 1-3 every game. What was different about tonight? And then once you said, that's it. That darn Wheeler, who won't shut up, if he just would every now and then just shut up, and he caused Damian the record.
Oh, that
I'm going to apologize, Dame, when I see you, that I cost you the chance at a rookie record all by yourself.
That is absolutely excellent. That's the funniest thing I've heard all day today. But you know what? Even without that, and we talked about it, and I said it a few times last night, I don't think that Damian Lillard has hit the wall. That's not even in the conversation. I do think he was tired last night, though. Mm-hmm. He didn't seem to have the lift, and we'll know tomorrow.
And he got some shots blocked around the rim.
Exactly.
Which is not like him.
We'll know on Thursday if he's tired, or actually not even on Thursday. It's Thursday, then it's Saturday, Sunday, and then, you know, and then after that, if it's 4 games in a row where he's 0 for whatever, and, you know, he's getting his shot blocked at the rim, it might be the wall. I don't think that's what it is. I just think sometimes, I mean, I was tired. You know, people get tired. They have bad nights. They have off-shooting nights. But I also don't think Dame had a bad night. He just didn't shoot the ball well.
You had him on one of our pregame shows on the road trip, and he said that he actually enjoyed the games. It was the practices in between the games that I think was tough for him. And I will say this, you know, and we'll talk to Terry about this. It's something that every coach always wrestles with, especially if you have a young team. And Terry has said on many occasions, he has to coach this team differently than he did, for instance, the guys that he worked with in Dallas that, as he pointed out, were the old guys. Now he's got the young guys. And you're always wrestling with, when you have a day off and maybe even a couple of days off on the road, especially when you still want to keep an eye on the guys at least a little bit, do you want to practice them? Do you want to give them, you know, kind of the strength and conditioning day where they're working with Bobby and Todd? Do you want to give them a day off totally where they just forget about basketball for the day? But, you know, it's always a difficult thing to kind of gauge your team. And he's still learning about his team too, and now he's going through the games when you have 3 and 4 nights and so forth. But as you pointed out last night, for guys like Damian, you know, they've almost already played a full college season.
And it's a big difference for a young guy, especially a rookie who's coming into the NBA. We've played, 21 games now in the regular season. You played 7 preseason games. That is a full college schedule. That's almost 30 games played, and he's done it between the 1st of October and the middle of December. So in about a half the time, you played just as many games, and it's not going to stop. Nobody's going to feel sorry for him. And I said last night, he's got to get in the weight room. You know, it's a different mindset. It's a different physical nature, the NBA versus college. You can overpower people even when you're tired, but you got a week off. You know, I played in Europe. It was great. We played on Wednesdays. We played on Saturdays. That was it. They tried to make me practice. I boycotted. It was just fine. It was absolutely fantastic. But here – you play every other day, and then coaches got to find time for practice. You got to figure out who your guys are. I tell you what, on a positive note from last night, we could talk about Dame's lack of production from the field. Victor Claver was 2 of 12. I've never seen a player go 2 of 12 and look more confident than what we saw from him last night.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that you find out, remember Rudy would talk a lot about the fact that coming over from Europe, that was the most difficult thing for him because he was used to playing once a week, maybe twice a week, and the NBA schedule was a grind. And if you haven't, and I think it's one of those things where you can talk to people all you want if you've been through it and tell them what to expect, but I think they really have to do it themselves to have an understanding of what it's all about, and I think that's what some of these young Blazers are finding out.
And if you let it, it can be the most fun thing in the world. It is a grind, and it hurts, and your body's tired, and you wake up some mornings, you don't want to do anything, but if you let it, if you look at it for what it is, you're 23, well, now you can be a 20-year-old millionaire playing a game that you'll be playing for free if you weren't here. So, despite all the fatigue and everything, it's still a blessing to be in the NBA.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about that and a few other things of interest with Trailblazers head coach Terry Stotts. Obviously a little happier about the victory last night to get his club back on the right track, and we'll get an update on the health of Wesley Matthews and Nick Batum as we look ahead to the Blazers' next contest coming up on Thursday against the Spurs. Just getting started with this edition of Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power. We are simulcast on AM 620 as well as Comcast Sportsnet and stream live at trailblazers.com. All right, back we are on Trailblazers Courtside. Where's our? Well, we don't have a shot of you and me like we have Mike and Mike.
No.
Somebody missed on that one.
Yeah, pretty sure. You know what? I don't care.
They're kind of back to back. Would you like a shot like that? It's kind of look very cozy. You know, back to back shot.
I mean,
Nah. Buck at us with the Charlie's Angels pose, but here we are on the program, and we are joined now, by one of our favorite guests. He was asking me last night about the term espouse, how I would rate him in terms of coaches, how well he espouses, how good is he at interviews? I think he's very good, don't you?
Well, first of all, I'm glad that you explained the definition of the word so that I'll make sure that I got it correctly. Yes, he is. He's one of the best coaches we've had.
A good espouser.
We've only had two, so I guess it's hard to.
You and me?
No, we've had Dunleavy. Nate and Caleb.
Yeah.
The only two guys I've ever had to interview.
Oh, you never had to interview Cheeks?
But I give Terry Stotts the nod. Definitely the nod.
He's the current guy, that's for sure. He's the best espouser we have right now. He is Trailblazers head coach Terry Stotts, and he's with us at this very moment. Coach, have you had a chance to espouse very much today to the team or to anyone else?
No, I've been saving it up for you guys.
We appreciate that. We kind of touched on
– I do want to say, if you do get that picture of you two back to back, I want an 8x10 glove.
It'll have dart holes in it in about a week, I think. But yeah, we will make sure that you'll get one of the first off the presses. But we were talking about this a little bit on the postgame show last night. The rookie wall, and you said you think it's perhaps an overblown concept that maybe doesn't have a lot in reality.
Well, I think when rookies struggle at a certain time of year, I think it's convenient to say that there's a rookie wall. And the other part of it is, I think it's people say that it's, college guys are only used to playing 30 games, and they attribute to mental and physical fatigue, which is probably there's some truth to that as well. But the other part of it that I think is that the first 2 or 3 months of the season, the league has not had a chance to study players, to game prep for players. Tendencies and all that. So I give credit to the NBA and the talented players and coaches that figure out what players do and how to defend them. So I think there's a multiple of reasons why a player may or may not have a little dip in his production at a certain time of year. But I think it's just too convenient to say, well, it's a rookie wall and he's tired. A lot of players get tired of that time of year, and you know, just because it's a rookie, they say it's a rookie wall.
You know, Coach, rookie wall, tired, you know, who actually, when it's all said and done, could ever understand that? But I will say this. I don't expect that Damian Lillard is the type of guy who will have a game shooting the ball like he had last night and take it very lightly. He seems more the type that would have a bad shooting night and leave the gym and go to the gym to try to get things correct. He just he wants to be greatness. He has a drive in him.
No, I agree completely. And, you know, like I told you last night, though, I think after 20 games, it's way too early to even bring a rookie wall conversation into it. You know, he didn't shoot the ball well last night. And everybody has a game like that. And, you know, he'll bounce back. And, you know, he had a little stretch on a road trip where he had a two- or three-game game stretch where he wasn't necessarily playing that well and people were starting, well, you know, this is another rookie hurdle. And, you know, he bounced back and he had good games. And that's, you know, that's what he's going to do. He's going to come back and he's going to have a good game. And then, you know, when he has another poor game, it'll be interesting how people respond to that as well.
Coach, can you give a maybe an example or two of something that you've had to do differently with this young group of Blazers, I assume the youngest of the teams that you've coached, versus maybe the way you handled things with a more veteran group in either Atlanta or Milwaukee or even as an assistant in Dallas?
Well, I think our assistant coaches do a tremendous job of spending time with players and watching video with them, whether it's Myers, Damian, Victor, Will, the group. I think the assistant coaches have really spent a lot of individual time with video with the younger guys and extensive video, watching their minutes with them, offense and defense, showing how they can be better. You know, we spend a lot of time with video after a game with our team, but I think the individual sessions are, we probably do more of that than I've done in past places. You know, the other than that, you know, it's just the individual attention with the younger players more than anything else. The practices are very similar. The game prep is very similar. The one thing that's difficult for young guys is, you know, you have players like Jared Jeffries or Sasha or Ronnie who, or LaMarcus who know the league and know players and know tendencies that you kind of take for granted. And our young guys really haven't been put in that position, or have even a guy like Luke, who's been around for a couple of years, hasn't been in a position to, you know, play against some of these people. So I think that just knowing and studying the league has been a big emphasis for our team.
You know, Coach, speaking of that learning curve and different types of guys, the way you work with different types of guys, Victor Claverre spent a day or two down over in Idaho in the D League. He comes back. You know, he didn't shoot the ball well. He was 2-12 last night. But watching him on the floor, I was actually impressed. Despite the shooting numbers, he looked like he belonged out there on the floor. He didn't look lost. He was in the right place. I thought he made some great defensive plays, and then he moved the ball to the right places at the right time.
No, I agree, and I really think the two games down, the two games in Boise were very beneficial for Victor in particular, because he hadn't had a chance to play in a couple weeks. He's coming off an injury, and it just got him into a rhythm of playing the game. And I think those two games in Boise really transferred to the game last night. And you're right, he looked like he belonged. He was very comfortable in moving around. One thing about Victor is I think he has a great sense for the game. He's a team player. I don't think he plays with an agenda. He's, you know, he makes the play that try, you know, that he thinks makes sense and the right way to play. And, you know, one of the things I like about Victor is that when you feel his presence on the court, you know he's out there. He doesn't just blend in. He's making plays. He's running. He's getting a rebound. He's tapping the ball. You feel his presence on the court.
What can you give us in terms of a health update on Nick and Wesley?
Well, not a lot. You know, I think they're both better. If there were a game today, I don't know if they would play, but they're definitely both better than they were yesterday. And, you know, I'm optimistic that they'll be able to practice tomorrow, but we'll see how they feel tomorrow.
So the good thing is it doesn't appear that either has what would be a lingering injury, hopefully, beyond these days of recuperation, hopefully.
No. Well, and, you know, I'm not a doctor, although I've played one on TV. the back with Nick is, you know, the back's a funny thing. You never know how that's going to heal and how that's going to go. And, you know, the thing with Nick is he plays so hard, you know, he's going to give it all he has, and he really wanted to play last night. So I don't think it's lingering, but, you know, I think it's too early to say that.
You know, Coach, the other thing that I feel like doesn't get it discussed enough anymore because of, you know, all of the youth and all of these other things, your all-star power forward, LaMarcus Aldridge, the last few games, not just scoring the basketball, but he's really done a better job, an excellent job of getting on the glass. That's the one area I said coming in that L.A. could probably use the most improvement, and he really has stepped it up as of late.
Well, he really has. And, you know, an interesting stat, you guys probably are aware of it, you know, the fact that he averages over 20 points and 8 rebounds. You know, they're right now, there's 3 guys in the league, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and LaMarcus Aldridge. And Kevin Love will be there. He hasn't played enough games. So, I mean, that's tremendous company. And, you know, you always want more out of your players, whether it's a reserve or an all-star. And I think LaMarcus has been such a solid player for us that it's almost like you kind of underappreciate what he does. He makes it easier for players who play with him. He makes Damian's pick and rolls better. And I'm really pleased with the, you know, last few games he has picked up his rebounds. And I think that translates to a few extra points, easy baskets underneath.
Lastly, Coach, you're in a stretch here where you not only have some home games, but also some time in between home games. And we were kind of discussing in our first segment the tricky thing for any coach to figure out, especially as you start accumulating some games, how do you walk that fine line when you have some days off between knowing it's a day that you need some practice, you need some instruction, versus a day where maybe you sense they need some rest. How difficult is that to gauge, especially a team that you're still trying to get to learn all about?
Well, it is difficult. And you know, our practice before the Sacramento game, you know, we had a day off after we came back from our East Coast trip, and then we practiced. And to be honest, it wasn't a very good practice. We had some injuries, and it wasn't as energetic as I would have liked. And, you know, the Sacramento game, we didn't have the energy that we would have liked. And I was really pleased with our practice the day before our game last night. And I think that helped our mentality. And you're right, we've got, you know, we play Thursday and then we got 2 days off, and then we play Sunday and we got 3 days off. And I think rest is very important, both for the mind and the body. And, I'm not going to be a guy who's just going to drive the players into the ground just because we have days off. But I also think there's time to get work done. And, you know, that's my job to blend it.
Coach, we appreciate the time as always. Just want you to know that tone is always fresher after a couple of days off. So we're expecting big things from him on Thursday night.
And, Coach, if you ever need a big man that doesn't rebound, block shots, or score the ball, I'm your guy.
But he's good in the locker room?
Exactly.
Well, now, you know.
Wait, yes, good in the locker room. That's what you need.
Good in the locker room. Yes, yes. We can say that about him, yes.
Yeah, I'll keep that in mind.
Coach, thanks for the time. Have a great night. We'll see you on Thursday.
All right, thanks, guys.
Terry Stott, Trail Bears' head coach. See, that's that dry wit that I wrote about on my blog. And but he knows you very well, too well, I think.
You know, it scares me. It almost scares me that he knows way too much. It's killing me right now.
Every time you try to slide one past him, he's like, come on. I've known you too long.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, we'll come back and continue with this outstanding edition of Trailblazers Courtside. It's going to get even better in studio here because Chris Haynes of Comcast Sportsnet Northwest will be with us very shortly as we continue to check in on the outstanding 4A girls basketball game that's going on as we speak at the Rose Garden, Estacada and Banks. Oh,
I got to run out and check that out.
Yeah, I think Estacada was favored, but Banks giving them a run, so maybe you can get a score. All right, we'll come back and continue. Second half of the program coming up here on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. All right, back we are on Trailblazers Court Side, presented by Pacific Power. He's such an eager guy. He's going to officially join us in a formal way for our next segment. But Chris Haynes has stopped by a little bit early. Chris, when you played at Fresno State, did you ever experience the rookie wall at any point in any of your seasons?
I played at Fresno Pacific.
Fresno Pacific.
But I graduated from
You
Fresno
should have been
State.
At Fresno State.
I graduated.
Wait.
Yeah.
When he was in college at Fresno State, you said that when he played at Fresno State. Different.
Oh, now come on.
He's something else.
I've seen numbers. I've seen numbers that show that he played.
Yeah.
I don't. Oh man, I trust my boy played.
Okay.
You know, I just like to give him
what
a hard time.
You want your footage? You want video?
No, I don't need that. I trust. I trust in my boy.
You don't easily trust.
No. You got to earn it. You got to earn it.
That's
Don't give it away.
So the rookie wall. Did you ever experience it? Do you think it exists in the NBA?
No.
Terry Stotts says, and then maybe it's a convenient excuse sometimes.
I do think it. You can experience that in the NBA. I don't think necessarily in college because it's only 30 games and you got so much of a gap in between games. But in the NBA, when games come in so rapidly and it's 82 of them, yes, I think you hit that rookie wall because a lot of teams have the opportunity to scout you more so.
Did you have a rookie wall last year in your first year on the job? Because you know, you had to travel, take commercial flights. You did every game. You had some crazy travel at times.
That was rough.
Did you have a rookie wall at any point?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, that Toronto trip.
Yeah, the Toronto trip. Well, it's a good thing you had Tony and I to help you over those things.
Yes, we were there for him. Now, I got to say, though, my boy came out with us, didn't smoke a cigar, didn't have a drink. I was impressed because that's a lot of peer pressure to be sitting with Wheels and I in Indiana. Not partaking, just having a good conversation.
I have more pressure, Tom. I have more pressure.
I like that. I like that. That's nothing.
That's not his idea of pressure.
It's nothing. Yeah.
He's got a big family to take care of. I mean, that's day-to-day pressure. I mean, dealing with us, I mean, pressure.
That's a good point.
Two big kids, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's good practice for when your kids get a little older.
Exactly.
Exactly right. All right, we'll come back and get into some more significant and meaningful conversation with Chris Haynes, who is in his second season on the job as the Trailblazers insider for Comcast Sportsnet Northwest. It is Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. Brian Wheeler, Antonio Harvey with you, and we hope you'll stick around for our conversation with Chris for the second half of the program. Coming up, we are simulcast on Comcast Sportsnet Northwest. Stream live at trailblazers.com and also simulcast on 620 AM KPOJ. Still not too late to pick up a Trailblazers holiday gift for the fan in your life, the three-game home ticket pack features the highly anticipated matchup against the world champion Heat. There's a family pack with four tickets and dinner at the Rose Garden and a special date night package for a really special fan in your life. But the best seats are going fast. Call 503-797-9600 or head to trailblazers.com. Brian Wheeler, Antonio Harvey, Chris Haynes back here on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. 2 weeks from today, Christmas. Amazing.
That's right.
Now, you guys with kids, do you have all your Christmas shopping done?
No.
There's an honest man.
No.
Are you normally like a last minute shopper?
I am. Yeah. I am. My wife gets on me about that, but yes, no doubt. You know what? I do some of my best shopping and some of my best work when I procrastinate.
When you have a deadline.
Yeah, I tend to find deals and, you know, tend to put out my best work online, you know. Mm. Hey, I work well that way.
In other words, and I can speak from experience, he's lazy.
Now, if he didn't get it done, you'd say he's lazy.
No, he just needs
a deadline to get him really moving.
No, not getting it done is stupid. Getting it done at the last minute is lazy.
And I
speak from experience. I'm not just saying that this dude is lazy. I'm a procrastinator, so I can define it. No, procrastination is a secondary word for lazy.
Oh.
And nothing wrong with it because you get the job done, brother.
I would dispute that.
I would dispute that too, Chris, because I was always the kind of person in school that if you told me I had 5 months to do something, I didn't do it the first day of the five
months.
I did it closer to the end of the five
months. Take your time.
As long as it got done, that's all that counts.
4 months and 30 days for me.
And you were hoping that was a month that had 31 in it. You didn't want it to be February because you're late.
Oh, my goodness. I can't tell you guys how many times my mom delivered my paper. Baby, is it due tomorrow? It is due tomorrow. Yeah.
That's so funny. It is. Do we have a dog, Mom? Because I got to say that the dog ate it. It's not going to get here.
I joke. Chris Haynes does some of the best work, you know, on the Blazers beat. You're there all the time. You're behind the scenes, so you're certainly getting it done. Speaking of getting it done.
Uh-oh.
What do you got for us? What's your pulse on where the Blazers are right now? 9-12 after 21 games. Are you happy with where they are? Do you think that there's some things that, they can improve? Obviously, there's things that they can improve on. But if you were to judge this team, give them a grade, A to you know, whatever, what's your grade for the Blazers right now?
I would give them a B right now. The reason I would give them a B is because I expected this type of performance this far. We knew this was a young team. We knew this was a retooling year. I've been impressed with Coach Stotts, how he's been able to just put out an explosive offense already. You talk about those five guys. A lot of people talk about a lot of minutes that they play and the workload that they have. But they've been getting it done. You know, Wesley Matthews on the offensive end, Batum, LaMarcus, the whole starting five in general. So I've been impressed by how he's been able to implement his offense, and the guys just caught on so fast. And so 9-12, you know, and you know, you look at it at this rate, they can possibly make a bid for try to get that eighth seed. You know, if that's the plan. But you know, I'm impressed, and I think, you know, right now 9-12, that's probably what I expected right now.
You had a key phrase in there, if that's the plan. So
yeah, if that's
you're
the plan.
You're very tight with general manager Neil O'Shea. So
I wouldn't say that.
Well, it's a work in progress.
I wouldn't say that. You know? It's a working relationship.
So you have a relationship with general manager Neil O'Shea. And we know that sometimes the GM, looking at the big picture, has different immediate goals in mind than maybe the head coach does. We're a ways away from the trade deadline. But do you see this Blazers team, if things were to keep going as they are, do you see them potentially making a move to try to get an eight spot? Neil has already said, I don't want to be annually a team that's just getting in as the eight seed. Do you see this as a team that would stay the course and say, let's play the young people? If we end up in the lottery again with a high draft choice, that's okay because we're building for the future. Or do you think it's a team that could maybe judge where they're at the trade deadline and decide if there's a deal that could be made to help this season, or will it always be more a look at the future?
Well, let's talk about the trade deadline first. I've talked to Neil about that. They're not going to make a move for the trade deadline if they're not going to bring anybody that's explosive and that's on the same age pattern as Myers Leonard and Damian Lillard. They're not going to bring in somebody that doesn't meet that criteria and mess up their future plans going forward. Now, that being said, I think they've dedicated these next couple of years to developing these guys right now and seeing what they have. You look at Nolan Smith, Luke Babbitt. These guys haven't played for the most part. You know, this year is right now to see how, if they can, you know, generate some value in the, you know, going into the market. And so right now, I think right now they're you know, I think their hands are tied as far as trying to see what they want to do in free agency and whatnot. But right now, it's about Luke and developing these guys. And however that falls, if that falls into an AFC, so be it. But I just don't think it falls into AFC. I think they're going to be on their way out looking in, and I think they planned that going in.
I think it's the only way to plan, especially in a retooling year, as we've called it. LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, you can say what you want about him, but when it's all said and done, I mean, he put up 30 and 13 last night. Mm-hmm. Finally starting to see LaMarcus, the scoring, great, love it. But it's the rebounding, it's the leadership, it's the effort on the glass that we're seeing the last three or four games that's really showing me that he's starting to turn that corner and get back into that all-star form we saw last year.
Let me say about LaMarcus' game, this from my own personal opinion. I think when he was getting knocked and shooting too many jumpers, staying out on the perimeter too much. And, yes, he was. There was no doubt about that. But I think LaMarcus, I think he did Coach Stotts a disservice by staying out there on the perimeter too much. Because I think it was well within his boundaries to go into the paint. You know, Coach Stotts would say, hey, LaMarcus, don't go into the paint. Just shoot jumpers. So I think what LaMarcus has done is he's adjusted. And he say, hey, I'm going to mix up my game. I'm going to stay on the perimeter. I'm going to give the defense what they want. But at times, I'm going to force the issue and attack the basket. And that's exactly what he's been doing this last week. And so it's not all on Coach Stotts. Sometimes it's all on the player, having them adjust, make split decisions. And that's what he's been doing. And so far this last week or so, he's been playing like that all-star level player that he was last year.
I don't think anybody can dispute that Damian Lillard has been as good as advertised, if not better. As you've gotten to know him a little bit, is there something that maybe the fans don't know yet about Damian beyond what they see on the court? Is there something that you've discovered that maybe has been a nice find for you as you've gotten to know him?
I think people have heard about it, but I can't say it enough. You know, I had the chance to meet him in Chicago, and we talked and had a long conversation there. So we go back to the Chicago Combine. But the kid is he has a really great support system. He's a real kid with, you know, good values. And I think, you know, you see his calm demeanor out there on the court. Man, that's exactly how he is off the court. He doesn't get too rattled, man. He's a guy that's been in tough surroundings there in Oakland, California, and he's been able to handle that adverse situation and just been able to thrive wherever he's gone, Weber State, and now he's doing that right here with the Portland Trailblazers. So I've just been so thrilled with his demeanor. You look at all the praise he's been getting, all the public publicity he's been getting, and he's just handled in stride. He doesn't get too up, too down about it, and I just think that is a real key attribute to have if you're going to be a star player in this league.
You know, every veteran player I've ever worked with or been under or had a chance to talk to has always said the same thing, Wills. Stay off that roller coaster. That emotional roller coaster will have you high, it'll have you low, and life is never as good as it seems. It's never as bad, and I think Damian exemplifies that. No matter how bad it looks, he just looks the same. He looks like he's completely unfazed, and I don't think it's a look. I think it's who he is, and having met, you know, seen his family, dude comes to games. He's got 10 people at games, and that just tells you, you know, that he is a big family guy. When you have that kind of support system, it does make it a little easier to deal with some adversity.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you the best thing that I've had in terms of a conversation with him was on the elevator coming downstairs from our rooms in the Cleveland Hotel, getting ready to go to the game, and it was the first day of December. And so I said, you know, you're probably going to be named Rookie of the Month, you know, probably today, I thought. And he said, yeah. And he said, but we got to win on this trip. You know, and they hadn't won one on that trip yet, and they won that night, of course. But I was more impressed that even though maybe that's something he had thought of, maybe he hadn't, but the personal honor didn't mean as much to him as the frustration at that moment that the team wasn't doing as well as he wanted it to be. And so that tells me that's the kind of guy you want to have around for those reasons too.
And that's a testament to his maturity level. You know, I'm 30 years old now, and I can imagine 21 just having the world handed at my feet. Boy, Tone, I would have acted a fool out there, Tone. I'm just being real. I'm just being dead real. I wouldn't have been ready.
You know what?
I just wouldn't have been ready.
It's amazing how many guys that aren't ready. I mean, life doesn't prepare you what comes this way. I mean, people look at NBA guys and you say, oh, you know, he's this, he's that. And it's not even the overspending of the money. It's not the immaturity on the floor. It's the overall package. It's the fact that I'm 19 years old. Most guys who come into the NBA, they have a something inside that burns within them. That something comes from adversity. Mm-hmm. It delivers you to a place where you want to be more than what your environment should allow you to be. And then, so you come from little, and then you're given everything. And they wonder why guys, you know, your first 3 years in the league, I'll be honest, my first year in the NBA, I think I went out every night.
Uh-oh.
My second year in the NBA, I went out every other night.
Don't tell too much, Tom.
By my third year in the NBA, I was finally like, okay, good Lord, I am tired. I just need a nap.
I'm hitting another kind of wall.
I just want to go to sleep for a little while and get recovered from all of this. But it takes time. I mean, I'm in L.A. I'm young. I got money in my pocket. Yeah. What am I going to do? Let's go to the club. It's our guys don't do that. It's amazing. Our guys just, they're not those types of guys.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Myers Leonard, the other Blazers rookie who's not as old as Damian Lillard, didn't play as many years in college as Damian did, and I want to see what Chris thinks about his development in his rookie season. So it's Wheels and Tone, and we are joined in studio by the outstanding Blazers insider, Chris Haynes. It's Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power. We'll continue as we get down to the home stretch of the program. Glad to have you along as we are simulcast on Comcast SportsNet and 620 AM KPOJ and stream live at trailblazers.com.
One for
they think,
one.
Like they think that I can't. Well, they can't, I don't have any range or anything. I need to be closer.
There we go.
Three for three.
Thanks, shot. John Wooden.
No. Four for four. Oh, I'm shooting it.
Grave.
I'm shooting it like a madman right now. Five for.
You got the Papa shot.
Hey, there's something wrong with that rim.
That's right.
There's something wrong with that rim.
We got bodies hanging and everything. It's getting full now.
I was telling Chris, we were someplace a couple of weeks ago. And we were talking about players and players' attitudes, and I was telling him that when I was in college, you know, it was my first time being a man. If I missed a shot and we went into a timeout, I'd look at my coach, somewhere on the rim. You got to go get that check, coach.
Something going on.
I'm too good a shooter to miss three straight
right.
shots,
Something's
coach.
Something's amiss.
Something's wrong. Amiss. You need to go get that long piece of wood out so they can test off, you know, full circle.
And it brings us to the question I was talking about before the break with regard to a very young player, Myers Leonard, and we knew he would not be as NBA ready as Damian Lillard, but your thoughts on his development as you've gotten to know him, Chris. So you're thinking on Myers, what kind of guy and what kind of player he is now and what kind of guy and player you think he can become.
Well, as a human being, you know, he grew up with some tough circumstances with his parents and things like that, his brother going away. So he's mature as a person at an early age. You listen to him talk, man. You sound like he's a 10-year veteran. But on the court, he's an athletic freak, point blank. He's an athletic freak. When you throw that ball anywhere around the rim, he's going to grab that baby and throw it down. And so we all knew that he was going to be athletic. We all knew that he could run the court like a horse. But he's going to have to develop some post game. He's going to have to get more comfortable around the basket as far as protecting the paint. It's all about that defensive awareness right now. That's something he doesn't have right now. He gets too caught up in looking at his man and not being in the right spot for help defense. But those are things that's going to come along. He's only 20 years old, but you just have to love his athleticism. You have to love his upside right now. And I think he has a bright future in this league.
Good touch for a big man, too.
Oh, no, he does. I didn't mention the jumper, the stroke. Yeah. That's something he has. He just has to get comfortable of shooting that in the game situations a lot more. But, I'm impressed. He's a talent worth putting all your resources in to see what can come of this kid.
You know, it's interesting, the jumper. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think the jumper is there. The touch is there. The ability to shoot the 15, 16-footer is there. It's not grown. It's not fully incubated yet. It's still a work in progress. But you see his touch at the free throw line. 86% from the free throw line for a 7-footer is amazing. So you know he can do it. The game is faster. He's going to have to figure out the speed of the game a little bit. That's where the weak side defense is going to come in. That's where his ability to block shots is going to get better. But I'll tell you what, once it does, I mean, the dude has, a 36, 37-inch vertical? Who said white men can't jump? Come on. You got to be kidding me.
I didn't want to go there.
Hey.
He can jump.
He's a good leaper. He's got to learn a couple of little things about, you know, life in the NBA. You know, he's still headstrong. And I think some of that is coming from an environment where you had to grind for everything. That's the other thing it'll give you is a little bit of headstrongness. If he can, you know, become more open to suggestion, I think he'll mature much faster.
All right, when we come back, we'll put the finishing touches on this edition of Trailblazers Courtside, get some final thoughts from Chris, and we'll look at the week ahead for the Blazers. As Terry Stotts pointed out earlier in the show, well spaced out in terms of games and practices and no travel. That's kind of nice, too.
Thank God.
Yeah, the homestand continues, and we'll talk about it when we come back to close things out. Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power. We are streamed live at trailblazers.com and simulcast on 620 AM KPOJ and Comcast Sportsnet. We did manage a back-to-back shot.
That might be the best dang back-to-back shot ever done.
Instead of a back to a shoulder blade.
Well, you know, it's close enough. I'll be honest with you, Wills. It was kind of weird because your butt was rubbing up against my thigh. I don't know if I like that or not.
The height disparity kind of came into play there at some point.
Oh, boy.
Our Trailblazers courtside crew tonight consists of TV producer Adam Willis, director Phil Beard, video Greg St. Martin, graphics John McConnell, audio Corey Griffin, cameras Brian Buckwalter, John Curry, our engineer Bruce Williams, online coordinator Justin Moulter, and our outstanding radio producer, the one and only captain Rich Patterson, our captain's cam there. As Cap is getting ready, the studio is well represented for Christmas time. Again, 2 weeks from today. And the final edition of Trailblazers Courtside of the year will be next Monday night with Mike.
You know what we haven't done as a broadcast crew this year?
We haven't done our Secret Santa.
Our Secret Santa. We have a Secret Santa amongst our travel crew.
We need to
crew.
Do that.
Maybe we can get it done, headed down to Sacramento, and we'll have to exchange after Christmas
when we head to
New York.
Chris, thanks for stopping on by. We appreciate it. And the week ahead will feature the Blazers and Spurs, national TV, 7:30 on Thursday. And then Sunday, the Blazers hosting Monty Williams and the New Orleans Hornets at 6 o'clock. Those are the only two games. Lots of time in between games, practice, rest, all that good stuff. And we'll be joining you on Thursday night on the Blazers Radio Network. But for Antoni Harvey, I'm Brian Wheeler saying so long for tonight. And next edition of Trailblazers Courtside comes up on Monday. So long, everyone.